This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Carm Capriotto, the Town Hall Academy. Believe it or not, week 324. Can you add that, divide that up on a calendar and figure out how many years we've been doing this? So proud to continue to do these single subject forums and kind of tear some cool ideas and important topics apart here in our industry. Let me introduce my panel to you as we talk about dressing for success. Kevin Oswald from Oswald Service. It's a two-shop, multi-shop operation in Idaho Falls and Rexburg, Idaho. Hey, Kevin.
How you doing today?
Great. Both Kevin and Renee are first-timers on the show, so glad to have them. Renee Oswald, the wife from Oswald Service. And both Kevin and Renee have a great background. I'll give you a little bit of bio here in a minute. And Vic Tarasic, owner of Shop Owner Coach. Hey, Vic.
Hey, Carm. How are you today?
I'm great. A transplanted Buffalonian down into Texas. I don't know how that happened, but based on the taxes I pay here, Vic, I may just have to come down. Interesting.
You're welcome anytime.
And perhaps the weather.
And who knows, maybe. It's very possible. Hey, before we go too far, high fives to our great, great sponsors that have been with us for a long time. Priorities change, you know, in a heartbeat. So shouldn't your shop management system reflect that? Well, if you use Shopware, it does. The built-in expediter lets you shuffle jobs around based in real time for maximum efficiency. Talk to my friends at GetShopware.com. And with over 2,300 SKUs and 95% sales coverage on fuel pumps, Delphi has everything you need to replace your customer's fuel pump. From OEM quality pumps, modules, GDI pumps, and fuel tank cleaning supplies to instructional videos. Get it all at DelphiAftermarket.com. Okay, hey, some really great background on Kevin and Renee. Kevin, third generation owner of Oswald Service and Repair. Growing up in the automotive industry, Kevin learned the values of hard work. Now, I'm from a family business, so I get that so much. Hard work, honesty, integrity. He learned it at the feet of his father and grandfather. So did I. Kevin left the family business for 14 years. During that time, he went out and tested the waters at Les Schwab Tires and even managed Bybee's wheel alignment. Now, when it was time for his dad to retire, Dad, get the hell out of here. He knew he needed to carry on the family legacy. He took over the business in 2004 and has grown it from a two-bay service station to a six-bay shop, one in Idaho Falls, as I said, and the other in Rexburg. He increased the income 10 times in employing 12 individuals, including the fourth generation. Damn, and that stat just proves itself over and over again that it's very difficult to get to the fourth generation. So high five and kudos to you. Renee's a registered nurse of 33 years and worked for nearly 25 years in that career in nursing leadership. Now, she currently is the president of New Level Leader, a leadership consulting agency that focuses on personal accountability in executive leaders. She's the host of the podcast, East Idaho Entrepreneurs, and features stories of local entrepreneurs, business owners, and influencers making a difference in their industries. And the shop sponsors that. Man, that's really cool. She fills the role of HR specialist, marketing director, party planner, and other duties as assigned at Oswald Services, including the lady who makes sure that Kevin leaves in the morning dressed professionally.
Yes.
Dang right.
Here's what I want to discover, because as I get out and I look around recently at Vision, Vic, it's amazing to see the differences of what people wear when they go to a conference. I always wonder if that's a reflection of the professionalism that goes back to the shop, or are we just dressing down because we're at a conference? And I really didn't do a survey while I was there, but I have a funny feeling that some of that dress at a conference equates itself back into the shop. So I'm always wondering about how you represent your brand. And let me tell you something that I have a very big pet peeve about, everyone. I hate blue on blue. I hate a blue shirt, sometimes a blue t-shirt and blue pants. And so let me see. It's there so that people don't see how dirty we are. Maybe they should see how dirty we are. Maybe we should have a gray pair of pants and a light gray shirt with maybe a white, maybe not a white collar, but you know what I'm saying. Something that has some tones on tones going. And when we're out in the public, hey, honey, could you stop and bring some milk on the way home? Shouldn't we look that good when we're out in public for those moments wearing the company uniform? I love collared shirts. I don't think we should be wearing t-shirts at all in our industry. And does the service advisor have that professional look about them? There's the money exchanges hands. Should I give it to an all blue t-shirted person or somebody who looks really, really professional? I think the owners should be representing the upper end of our professionalism to not only their customers, but to the public. And then every once in a while, I hear this from people in the industry, and they say, when you're going to go visit a school, take off your uniform and just wear a really nice shirt and don't go out there and try to sell yourself as an automotive person. Just sell yourself as a professional business person. So I've heard that in the past. So, Kevin, let's start with you. You have all your employees in uniform, sir?
Every single one of them, you betcha. All of my technicians are in shirts and pants that match, as well as my service advisor and my manager at each one of my stores. Yes. Kind of a funny thing. We just hired a new service advisor about a week ago, and uniforms had not come in for him yet. And Renee stopped into the shop, and the first thing that she noticed is he was wearing a hooded sweatshirt. And it just, no, that's not us. But I was there this morning. His uniforms came in and he was in uniform. Not only that, tucked in with a belt and looking to our standards. So,
who invented hoodies?
I don't know. I really don't. But yeah, that was the first thing that I noticed. And I really didn't say anything. But then Renee came in and said, really? A hoodie? Come on. I know uniforms are ordered. They're coming. It'll be fine. And it is. So,
I have a Remarkable Results Radio hoodie with a logo here. It's kind of grayish. It's light. It's got a hoodie with a red liner inside. I never put the hoodie on. I just thought it's a cool looking representation of my brand. And when people put the hoodies on, I think it totally ruins the look.
Well, there's a time and place. It's not for the service writer. That's for sure.
So perfect. Renee, tell us about the importance of the professional image at your shop.
Yeah, well, you know, I will say one of the things when Kevin went and did his own stuff for 14 years before we came back to the family business, working for Les Schwab Tires, for those of you who may not be familiar with them, they dressed in white shirts with a collar in the tire business. And so I'm like, this is such a risk because it was very professional and just sharp. And they're in white shirts in this industry. And so always struck me about how that was so important to them and that next level. And so when we moved into taking over the business. Now, it used to be Conoco station back in the day and a Sinclair station. And so coveralls were kind of the thing. But when we took over, we were like, yeah, no, you know, like we're used to this next level of professionalism. So I have to give them props and thank you to them setting that tone for us because we went into this business just with that whole mental attitude that we don't have to look like that. And oftentimes I think that this industry has gotten that perception that, you know, grease monkeys or whatever other names that these guys have been called. And honestly, the level of professionalism that is expected and that we should have in the industry should be much higher than settling for a pair of overalls that have been never cleaned for the last however long. And I realize most places are probably not looking like that anymore, but that was kind of where we got an advantage starting off. Plus, I'm a registered nurse. I come from a very sterile environment and we're very professional in the way that we dress. We've kind of gone through that whole, I was the nurse wearing whites and a cap back in the day to now we've gone to scrubs. And so I've seen that whole realm just within my own profession and the impact that that's had even on nursing. You guys sometimes don't even know when a nurse walks in the room anymore and to distinguish ourselves between housekeeping and nursing. And so it has been a passion of mine. And so I'm glad that as we moved into our own business, that that was something that Kevin was on board with as well.
You know, we always talk about the doctoring business. It's amazing how we can form analogies. Yes, very big ones. But I never thought, Renee, of the scrubs. The doctors wear them, the nurses' aides wear them, the nurses wear them. So you really don't know who is who. So it's this one big healthcare consortium of peoples walking around. So you wouldn't really know who to ask. And I think that's an interesting parallel that if we took that one step further and had that really professional service advisor, I can't imagine the technicians, I don't care if they're ABCs, 1 through level 10s, whatever you want to classify them, diagnostician, give them a white lab coat, give them scrubs. I'm only kidding. But dress them for the level of professionalism that you want them to have. For some crazy reason, when I put a jacket on, I feel so much different than if I just had a t-shirt. You're out at the conferences. You see this all the time.
When we go to a conference, we dress in a coat. We dress, you know, we don't have to dress in a tie, but something appropriate for the atmosphere that we're at. We want to look professional. If we want to be treated as professionals, shouldn't we look as professionals? And the same thing goes in the shop. So Kevin, Renee, you guys have heard this, and I know Carm, you heard it back in your old parts days for years. This industry has complained that we are not treated as professionals. They pound the table. It's like, treat us as the car doctors that we are. Well, then why don't you dress like it?
Tell me if I'm right or wrong, Kevin. People come in, maybe it's a new customer you've never seen before, or the service advisor made an appointment and they came in and you gave them a price of $800 to do a brake job, whatever the number, doesn't matter. And they say, hey, listen, I can go down the road and get it for five. And if you were professional, the shop is professional, the curb appeal is professional, everything's professional. Isn't there a great chance that that challenge won't happen?
Absolutely. No, you are 100% right. And that is one thing that even in high school at the old 2-bay service station, you would walk in there and, well, before high school, when I was in grade school, I remember my dad taking me to work and we had the old cardboard oil cans and they used to weep under the shelves. And every Saturday, I would pull those cans out, wipe everything down, dust, put it back together. Even at that little service station, cleanliness and the perception being professional was something that was really important to my father. And it, not kind of, but it did go over to me as well with my buildings. When I built my buildings, that was one thing that I really had in mind is I want people to go past my shop and not realize that it is an automotive repair shop because it is so clean, it's so professional. And the only thing that distinguishes me as an automotive repair shop would be my sign out front and not the 20 or 30 cars with the hoods up and tires missing and everything else that unfortunately seems to be the status quo in this industry.
You know, Renee, you told me in your talking points about the aesthetic feel. If I was going to ask that $800 brake job to be $500 because the place didn't look professional, somehow in the back of my mind, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong here, but I think I'm right, I would worry about the quality of that $500 if they were going to give it to me at that price because it doesn't look professional.
And, you know, I don't mean to be offensive to anybody in the industry, so hopefully I'm not hurting anybody's feelings, but I would walk into other shops and there would be bar stools there. They're fine and everything, but, you know, but they're all logoed up one side and down the other with all sorts of different vendors. And as a woman, and again, you guys are doing business primarily with women. I don't know, I hate to break it to you, but we're the ones that are coming into your shop. That is not an inviting atmosphere. Like already we feel intimidated to come in and have the conversation. We come in and then it's logoed from one end to the other with language that we don't understand, much like what we do to you guys in the hospital. And then you throw all of this stuff at us anywhere in our facilities. Like, I'm not going to do it. And so when we bought furniture for our waiting areas, it was not from Walmart. We did spend a little bit of money to get some quality stuff that went out for people to sit on. It was higher end. Now, again, I understand that not everybody can afford this, but it was important enough to us that we budgeted for that. And we made sure that if we were going to have anything look sharp, it was going to be the customer facing areas. So the buildings that we built are stick built. And again, nothing wrong with metal buildings because the back end is metal, but the front end is stick built. We have sheetrock and we have the whole thing so that we can really put that next level kind of feeling where I'm walking into a professional place. We actually got a review from one of our customers that visited our shop in Rexburg and said, it's cleaner than some of the physician waiting rooms that I've been in. And so that is just like the level of expectation that we have. And we make sure that we hire people that do our cleaning that are going to also keep it to that standard. This has just been very important to us and maybe a little over the top about making sure that we appear professional. But, you know, it has really set us apart. So when we are asking $800 for that brake job, you're right. People are like, well, yeah, this is a little bit, what am I going to expect coming here? And we've lost some business because of that. But the customers that we've retained are the customers that we want.
Right.
Well, you know, people buy with their eyes. You nailed it, Renee. You have a stick-built shop. You got a nice, beautiful front weight area. It's gorgeous. And in their mind, they're already expecting to pay more. The professional approach, the professional look validates what the customer anticipates paying. And they have no problem paying for it if they're feeling like they're getting really great, a really great product. So last night, my first trip to one, it's large franchise Mexican restaurant. My wife and I, first time we ever went in there, this will be the last time. And it was filthy and you weren't comfortable about the food. And it's one of the most popular Mexican restaurants in the country. And I'm like, this is a $1,700 a share stock. Yeah, Chipotle. I mean, it was a dump. I hate to say it like that, but we only spent $27 versus $800. So it validated for me that, you know, I made a wrong decision. I bought my food, ate it. It was pretty good. And it wasn't like going to Tim Hortons. You know what Tim Hortons is like carb. nice, beautiful. And you go into the back of the automotive business, we set the tone when that customer pulls up to our shop, and it's good looking shop on the outside. It carries on to the inside, and then they meet our team, and it's conducive from the front all the way to the back. Everybody appears professional, acts professional, speaks professional, and it makes it a lot easier to make that sale.
Hey, aren't you tired of being tired after a crazy day at the shop? Take the frustration out of your work by speeding up the processes that bog you down. Start a repair order based on a can job. Check. Order parts from a menu that includes every supplier within seconds. Check. Now send all that information with photos or videos to a customer via a live chat on their phone. What? No, I'm not kidding. Check that box. Get an approval faster than ever so you don't tie up a bay for hours. Check. Hey, it gets even better. Once they see the summary of work they need next time, they ask you to fix one or two more items today. Boom, that bill goes up and you make more. Then, get this, they pay you on their phone before they even pick up their car. This could be your life, my friend. Talk to my friends at GetShopware.com. As the trusted aftermarket brand for over 100 years, Delphi Technologies is by your side for every step of the repair process. The Delphi journey doesn't stop once the parts are ordered. Wherever your journey takes you, our quality parts gives you ease of mind when getting your customer's vehicle back on the road. Technicians know and trust Delphi as a quality brand. Each product undergoes rigorous testing to not only meet OE standards, but also enhance it in each opportunity. From 700 hours of spray testing on chassis components to fuel pumps tested for reliability up to 150,000 miles. And safety and reliability is paramount to help vehicles drive cleaner, better, and further throughout their lives. Delphi is also committed in developing products and services to prepare technicians for the future. Take advantage of how-to videos on YouTube, technician-led trainings, and our technical support line, and more. Turn to the aftermarket parts supplier with over 100 years of OEM trust and quality. Learn more about Delphi. Visit DelphiAftermarket.com. I've been going to my GP for many, many, many years. Let's say 20. The waiting room hasn't changed.
Oh, there's probably less magazines.
There's none.
Right, COVID.
But I do really respect and appreciate the doctor. He's really been good with me, for me. The annuals, he takes as much time as he needs. But I started to think, while we're having this discussion, I started to think, why does he have to fix it up? There's insurance. He is not recruiting clients. In fact, he's got a waiting list, okay? Because he's a good doctor. It doesn't have to impress people who want to come in and pay $20 or $30 for an annual physical that they're going to charge the insurance company hundreds for, right? If you think of that when you go, don't say, well, my place can only be as good as my doctor who hasn't upgraded in 20 years. That's wrong. That's wrong because we are, as an industry, looking to be sure that we charge for our knowledge, charge for our equipment, and keep our customers' vehicles safe and reliable. Does your furniture, does your image, does your look, does your brand, does your dress say safe and reliable?
Yeah, and I would say that we do. Another thing that we did, which again, I don't mean to change the subject, but it's pretty passionate of mine, is that I think that many of us as shop owners are participating in local BNIs or other type of networking. And so that's wonderful. But what we did is we kind of went out there on what I thought at the time was a little bit like, is this a playground I should be playing on? Like, we joined a networking group that was all CEOs, executives, corporate, you know, like maybe I initially did think these guys are out of my league. And I'm like, I belong here. And that was another thing that made total difference, is that I acted like I belonged there. And thankfully, they're wonderful. And, you know, we live in a great community and they were very welcoming. But had I listened to the self-limiting kind of ideas around what I think mechanics or whatever they may think of us, I wouldn't have been sitting at that table. And it wouldn't, over the last 4 years, we have increased our business more than we even expected. And a lot of it is attributed to being a part of that networking group, my podcast, putting ourselves out there in ways that maybe it's not typical for shop owners to be at. And so that's another thing I would say we also have to take a risk, like act professional and put yourself in places where you're expected to be professional. And you're one of the CEOs and executives sitting at any one of those tables.
So Vic, I want to land this right in your lap. We talk so much about, do you have a hobby or is it a business? Is it a professional business that you have?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we almost may be able to figure out if it's a hobby or a profession based on how people dress.
I totally agree with you on that. The shop owners that take it seriously are looking at their business as something they can make an impact with their team, their community. They dress the part. Back when I was small, one of the things that I had in my head was appear bigger than you are. And even though it was a small one horse operation, I wanted to get to the next step level. And so each time I would dress for the next position, so to speak, I would look in public as though I wanted to be treated well. And a guy who's running the shop as a hobby, he's going to throw on a shirt or it's a t-shirt or, like we saw a lot of that blue on blue at Vision, and the beards are all messed up. And I kind of look at it this way too, Carm, is if the person, their outward appearance, to me, it kind of communicates, it communicates how they feel about themselves on the inside. So, the guy that's just looking at it as a hobby, he doesn't look at it as a potential lifelong business that can make a massive impact.
Thank you for that. Kevin, help me with the beards. I have one, by the way. So I'm pro beard, right? But I have seen some beards that haven't been looked at in maybe 20 years.
Yeah.
I am not trying to get hate mail, by the way. I'm not saying this to get hate mail. But I think there's a level of professionalism that we wear tattoos, we wear earrings, we wear suits, we wear jackets, we wear shirts, we wear hoodies. And is it critical and important, Kevin, that we have a policy about this?
I believe it is extremely important. Now, my right-hand man, my manager at my Idaho Falls shop, he has a full beard that hangs about this low. But Josh goes every other week to the barber. He has it styled, cut. I mean, it looks good. It really does. This other service advisor that I just hired, he had a goatee. And I mean, the hairs were just going all over the place. And I mentioned to him, I said, and I pointed at Josh and I said, obviously, I'm okay with facial hair, but man, you've got to trim it up a little bit. It needs to look a little bit better than what it is. And 2 days later, he came back and he had the whole thing just trimmed right down, about like yours, Carm, trimmed up, looking really nice. And that was really appreciative. One thing, for the longest time, speaking of tattoos, I have, and I still keep that with my guys, that I don't want visible tattoos. If you have tattoos, that's great. That's fine. Keep a shirt. If you need to wear a long sleeve shirt, do that. And Vic and I have had this conversation. And in this day and age, it is so tough to try and overlook a qualified candidate because maybe they have a little bit of a tattoo showing up their neck or something like that. So even I, over the last couple of years, have kind of softened. I don't agree 100% with it, but I have softened my stance with that a little bit, just so I don't overlook a good qualified technician that could come to work for me, is something that is really, really important. Again, Renee talked about Les Schwab, about the white uniforms. And that was one thing that I was going to bring up. Another thing that Les Schwab, when we went to work for them, clean cut, clean shaven, couldn't have a mustache, sideburns, couldn't go past the ears. You worked for Les Schwab, you were clean cut, you were clean shaven, you wore the white uniforms. And I remember having to change uniforms probably twice a day because they would get so dirty that the manager would say, go change. And you just learned how to work clean, so you didn't dirty your uniforms. So yeah, I mean, that perception, that's something that's big with me. Earrings, nose rings, the things like that. I still haven't warmed up to any of that. The nose rings and the big gauges in the ears and stuff. I haven't warmed up to that, but it's a big deal. It's a big deal for me.
Things have changed. And like you said, we might overlook. And I shared with Kevin about the best service advisor I have ever had. She showed up at my shop. She's got blue hair. She's got blue glasses. Her resume, she hands it to me. It was blue. And you know what her name was? blue. And she had piercings and tattoos, and she had this, you know, kind of a rat tail part of her hair. And she had no industry experience, but she had customer service experience. She worked at an Applebee's, she worked at a bar, and she knew how to handle unruly customers. She also knew how to give outstanding customer service. So we talked, I interviewed her, and this is when I was anti-tattoo, anti-piercing. It wasn't my thing. And it was, you know, 15 years ago. And I'm like, you know what? I need to give this girl a chance. And I'm like, okay, here's what you're going to do. Hair color is great. Glass is fine. Just pop the nose ring out. Wear your tattoos, wear them fine. But when you come in, dress professionally. Here's the uniform shirt. Wear these slacks. I trained her. My team helped just in her growth. She became the best advisor. And you know who loved her more than anybody? My lady customers, my older lady customers. You know, and this is where I shared with Kevin, had I looked past my, you know, and been stuck by my old way of no tattoos and no piercings and blue hair, and she was just too strange for me, I would have missed out on one of the best things. The whole key was you need to look professional, you need to act professional. And she did it.
Well, and we have the luxury of living in a very conservative area of the country. And so we've been able to be a little bit more like that. But you're right. I think we've got to understand it was the same way in healthcare for forever. Well, guess what? People have tattoos now. And so we've got to really look at what the qualifications are. And my biggest deal is clarity up front. As long as our employees understand what our expectations are and it's not a surprise to them when they're a week into their employment, that's the most important.
First of all, facial hair is everywhere. I don't think you can watch a commercial, a TV show, drive down the highway, go to Walmart, go to Macy's. There's facial hair everywhere. But the operative word here, Kevin and Renee, that I think I'm hearing is tasteful. And because what we have to think about is the female customer. And Renee, you hit it perfectly up front. It's the majority of who our business is. And I think they would love to see tasteful. I don't think they don't want to. Facial hair works as long as it's tasteful. But the service advisor, so many of them are becoming females. And I think their professionalism, Vic, you worked it out with the blue hair, and her name was Blue, and she was blue. And to me, that's almost the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, it was her brand.
Brand, yes, exactly. And so stop and think about what your brand is, kind of where I'm going. Do we want more discerning female customers? Do we want to hire people for our counter that are professional and will wear our brand? Do our people in our shop, do our technicians appreciate and understand the brand that we have, the reputation that we have, and how that Dress for Success moniker, vision, passion, policy lends itself to the arching umbrella? And I guess I'd love to just to talk about this. How do we make that? Here, I'm a person who's running amok. I've got this ship with no rudder. We just don't look professional. Help me, help us give somebody some of the building blocks on how to move forward with this.
One thing that my guys know, Renee has mentioned this about setting expectations with your crew. And one thing that my guys know, we as business owners, we cannot control what our guys do after the doors close. But one thing that my guys know is if you're going to go out to the bar and do whatever after work, you take that uniform off. I do not want you representing this company in that manner. So you take the uniform off and do what you need to do.
You know, Harvey, you're talking about a shop owner wanting to get started with the professional image. It all starts with an example.
Yes.
You know, Kevin had it at Les Schwab. I had it, you know, my wife worked for a large oil company. You know, I had the opportunity to see how other people dress. Well, today we see a ton of really successful shops. Dwayne Myers and I were talking about this last week, you know, dressing for success. And he shared with me, I have my jeans and my shirt I wear. I have my service advisor uniform. He goes, I'll have a suit and tie. He goes, during the day, I'll wear 3 to 4 different things. And so a shop owner who's in blues, I'll call them blues on blues, just doesn't know how to get a brand. There's plenty of really great examples. They just got to look to guys like the Oswalds, to guys like Dwayne at Dynamic, and see what they're doing differently. And don't let your uniform dictate to you what you wear. I hate to say it like that, but there's plenty of options out there.
Kevin, didn't I see a graphic on your website? Didn't I see some tone on tones on your uniforms?
My service advisors have like a red and a black shirt that they use.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm going. I'm really trying to say that it doesn't have to be solid, and there's so many different color patterns or angles that could represent the brand. Embroidery versus a patch. Ooh, what about ASC? Should we put the ASC patch on our uniforms, huh? That's professionalism to the nines. And frankly, it's a talking point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. I agree 100% with that. I was just having a discussion with my youngest son about that recently. Proud of him. He's an ASC Master Certified Technician now. And he's passed all of his tests. And he's, Dad, should I put patch on my shoulder? He said, it just kind of seems like bragging a little bit. And I said, you earned that. And you need to let people know what you did. I said, that is a fantastic accomplishment. And you need, we need to order enough patches for all your uniforms. And you need to do this.
I just had a military thought here. You know, the dress greens, right?
Yes.
Okay. And I recall having dress greens. And I recall having my sharpshooter badge, if you will. It wasn't a really good shot, but I got a sharpshooter, a dangle medal, right? And I was proud of it whenever we had a dress in dress greens. So let me throw this at the audience. Considering the military analogy here of dress greens, why don't we call our uniform of the shop, Kevin, the dress somethings, the dress for success, the dress Oswald or something, which means when you wear that, when you put that uniform on, even if it's a shirt with some embroidery and some patches on it, this is, you're proud to wear your accomplishments. And maybe, Kevin, just maybe you need to create some things going on inside the company and get a patch going on that prove to people that they put the 40 hours of training in this week. So put a 40 patch on their shirt. 40, 2022. That means they hit the target of training for 2022.
I agree 100% with you. That'd be great if we could come up with something like that. Just be recognition or something. And it's so good for the employee to be recognized, but also the conversation that something like that would strike up with a customer walking through the door. What is that patch? What does that mean? And, you know, just... being able just to puff your chest out and say, well, my employee did X, Y, and Z, and this is a standard that we hold them to, and they did that. Yeah, that's fantastic. I love it.
I attended Vision.
Yeah.
I mean, what I found is fascinating is we need to go to Sherry, Vic, and say, let's get a Vision patch to put on a uniform that has the year under it. And you don't have, if you attend Vision for 20 years, you don't have to have 20 patches, but you could always have the most recent patch. And what's that mean? Well, that's one of the premier events, Apex Vision. I mean, think about what we could do. This whole dress for success, all this dress greens idea, why we wear our medals the way we wear them is that we're pretty proud because our branch of service, our company asked us to go through these hoops to earn a status, if you will. And we should be pretty damn proud to wear that. But you're not going to wear it on a blue shirt with a blue hoodie with blue pants and blue shoes and blue socks.
Right. You should be proud of what you're doing, and you should brag about it. Because if you don't brag about it and you don't shout it from the hilltop, nobody else will. And I love what you said about creating a talking point. It creates an opportunity to have dialogue with your customer other than, this is what I need on my vehicle. It creates validation of what you do. Shows your level of commitment.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking about as you guys are talking is, I'm sure you've all heard the saying, your culture is your brand. And, you know, I mean, we think about logos. Oh, here it's on this side. Logos being a brand, but that is just a logo. Like, the brand is what's underneath it. The brand is like, who are we? And, you know, we promote the fact that we are a shop with honesty and integrity. And I can tell you, based on the way that we live our lives in the community and the level of professionalism that we have in our organization, that when individuals see this logo, they're not just thinking about that shop. They're thinking about our brand. Like, who is this? And, you know, it means a lot to us because this is our name. And so it isn't just, you know, this logo. It is also Oswald. Our name is on signs and representing us. But, you know, I think that was one of the things that we had to kind of embrace. It seems like it should be a no-brainer because we were third generation. But when Kevin and I took over the shop in 2004, we didn't really grasp what we had as far as being this third generation. And it took us a while to be like, this is a big deal. And we really need to like get behind this whole idea of family and get behind this whole idea of third generation going on fourth generation, market it and make it something. In the last 5 to 10 years, we have really flipped our mindset around the fact that this is not just a logo, this is a brand. And what does that mean? And I think what we're setting up too for our children and the fourth generation is that this brand can be beyond automotive repair if that's what they want to do, because it stands for something. And ultimately, that's what we have to think about. Your culture is your brand. What is your culture in your organization? And show that through everything that you're doing.
And if your culture, again, is your brand and you're living it, and its integrity and its honesty and its trust and it's all of those, you know, caring for each other, it's all of that. The uniform is just, it just happens. The dress for success just happens because we believe, we want to be part of, we care, we ooze it. The technician walks outside the front door and there's a customer coming in and they know to look and smile and say, hi, good to see you again, instead of just looking down and waiting to go and drag the next car in. That breeds that. And if all of that works, then so should the uniform. You know what? I think we may have changed some lives here, everyone. I think we have. Let's go around the room and do any last call for some of the talking point. We'll do Vic, Kevin, and then we'll have Renee clean up here at the end. Vic, any finals?
Yeah, Kevin and I met back in Dallas at a training event. And what connected both of us was, first off, was our appearance, how we looked. Had he been in shirts and a t-shirt like someone else, I wouldn't have connected with him. And had I not been dressed professionally, vice versa. And we made that connection. Then we found a whole bunch of other similarities, faith, football. But it all started with that appearance. It all started with their appearance. And we both look professional. I would encourage the listening audience to up your game professionally. What can you do to become look more professional?
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate it so much. Kevin, I'll let you go next.
Professionalism, and especially the way you look, is something that, you know, quite honestly has been ingrained in me since I started working with my father. When my grandfather started this business in 1939, it was the old black and white pictures of the guy that comes out with the cap and the little bow tie, and they run out to your car and pump your gas, check your oil, check your tires. That was my grandfather. And appearance and service was really something that was important to him. Even in the days when my father owned the business and we wore the green Sinclair coveralls, you wore those coveralls, period, end of story. You didn't go out there in your jeans and pump gas. You wore those coveralls. And everywhere that I've worked, it has been really important to have that professional look. And not only to just talk the talk, but to walk the walk as well, and be professional in your mannerisms and the way that you conduct yourself at work and even when you're not at work. And there's really not a huge secret to what we do. It's be professional and dress professional, act professional, keep your buildings clean, and just portray that professionalism. We're trying so hard right now to groom the next generation of automotive technicians. And I tell people all the time that being an automotive technician anymore is not just about getting your hands dirty. It's a lot about using your head. And if we can be just a little bit more professional in the way we dress, the way we act, I think that it would help attract some of the newer generation to be able to come over to this business and, you know, be an automotive technician.
Wow, you just said so much. It's so important, because the image that we have, we need to get down to the parents of the kids who are going to affect. Maybe they're thinking that this is a really professional industry to work in, because we're out there saying we got more computer power than this. It's a computer on wheels today. Doesn't look professional to me. They're always going to be grease monkeys. They're always going to be garbage place to go to work at. I don't care. Why would I take my car with all this computer power? Will the dealers ever gain hold again because they look more professional than us? So as our purpose is advancing the aftermarket, this truly is a perfect podcast to advance our professionalism. And so thank you so much for that. I have a comment about the hat and the tie. Wasn't that Texaco that I think, didn't they have the hat and the tie?
Actually, my grandfather's station in 1939, it was a Continental Oil.
Continental, okay.
And so Continental, I believe, turned into Conoco, if I'm not mistaken. And then from Conoco, we went to Sinclair. So, yeah.
Well, maybe, again, I don't know if Texaco was nationwide, but you're right. When I was a kid, I'll never forget all of that. Never forget all that. Well, look, we're going to let Renee take the last call.
Now, I feel like I have had an advantage being a part of this industry, having the healthcare experience that I've had. And as a woman who is also a consumer and an owner in this industry, I think that to the women out there, we have a lot of influence on how this industry is shaped going forward. And so I would ask all of us lady owners, wives of owners, whatever, to be involved and give that perspective, especially from the female perspective, because we are the ones that are purchasing these services. And I have been so proud of our team because rarely do we get the feedback like we came in and they talked to my husband and not to me. And I think that that is so important for us to make sure that we understand that all types are driving vehicles and we need to show that level of professionalism to everyone who's walking through our doors. And more women need to be involved in this industry. So go girls.
Thank you so much, Renee. Well, this was great. A lot of gems, a lot of great insight, a lot of good ideas, good takeaways. And so thank you for this incredible discussion and allowing the think to work very hard here. I appreciate that. Kevin and Renee Oswald from Oswald's out in Idaho, and Vic Tarasic, shop owner coach, shopownercoach.com. Thanks, Vic. Thanks, Renee. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.